Hi, and thank you for joining me right here on Video Marketing Mastery. Look, this is one of my favorite things to do, to be talking with you about a topic that you can then take to advance your life or overcome adversity, help your business get to the next level. Overcoming adversity is a real issue. I mean, far be it for me to be the first one to bring it up. I mean, it's going around everywhere. In fact, I might know more people that have lost a job than are employed right now in immediate families or in family circles. And it's a strange time. But here the trick is, how do you take on a problem? And how do you get to the next level? And as such, I want to introduce our guest who had a really remarkable life transformation that took place. Let's go right now out to Seattle, Washington. I want to introduce you to Jim Huffman. He's the CEO of Growth Hit, which is a growth consultancy that's focused on conversion optimization. Jim, welcome to the Toddcast.
Hey, Todd. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Man, first and foremost, it's nice to have you here. People are going to be blown away by your story. I want them to understand what you went through. And then most importantly, I want them to understand how they can get through adversity on their own and flip it into something great. Now, your hardest day of your career happened recently. I believe it's March 13th. And it was the day that I landed from a business trip into Phoenix cross country. And here you were struggling. Tell us what happened to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So just giving a little bit of background, like you mentioned, we have a growth marketing consultancy called Growth Hit. And like going into 2020, it was looking like a great year, right? Business is going well. We're about to make some hires. I'm doing some work travel. And then leading up to March 13th, that Friday, I'm not feeling too good. And it just kind of snowballs where I get pretty sick. And as this is happening, I get sick with COVID-19, my business, which a lot of our clients are startups, a lot of companies in the e-commerce space, they start to see what's happening. And so their business is getting rocked. And right away, as they're looking to cut costs, if you're a consultancy or agency, usually you're at the top of that list. So it was just this perfect storm of, a lot of our clients just evaporate and need a pause. So we lose half of our business. And then meanwhile, I get quite sick. And so like, as I'm trying to handle this problem, I'm literally under the covers, just trying to hold down water.
So look, it's great to know you're feeling better. It's really hard to take on one storm as a business lead. You took on two. I normally tell my wife, I'm fine with one storm, but if you throw in two or three, this is a whole destabilizing experience. But you also had not only lost significant amount of revenue that was annual recurring revenue, but you also got leveled with COVID-19. What were the symptoms like? And then I want to talk with you about the business elements of it.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people where, if you start to get sick, you kind of ignore it. You're like, oh, I'll be fine. It'll just pass through me. And then, I hadn't had the flu in a while. And so I started to get sick and then it just escalated and it just knocks you out. And for me, I couldn't get more than like 3 hours without needing a nap. And I got splitting headaches where I couldn't even like focus or look at the TV. I mean, I'm very fortunate I'm not older or had like significant respiratory issues. It could have been so much worse, but it literally like took me out. And then my wife got sick. She lost her sense of taste. We were out for the count for like 3 days, and we have two kids under the age of three. So it was a little crazy in our household.
And then whenever, for me, it's like, if business sucks, that's worse than me not even feeling well, because I got to process that up here while I'm going through the emotions of it. What is it like going through COVID while feeling as if your business is spiraling out of control?
Right. There was a few different phases of emotions, because like we get like a breakup email from a client like, hey, we've got to pause work. I'm like, oh, that's fine. That's a one off deal. We're good. And then a couple more come. You're like, okay, this is not good. This is not a good trend I like. So then I have to accept it. And that's when you just think the sky is falling. You're like, are we going to lose everybody? Like, I have another friend who, she has a consultancy that specializes in hotels and hospitality. She literally lost every single client. So while I thought it was like earth shattering. Hearing that later gave it perspective, but at the time I'm literally just in denial, and then I'm thinking the worst. It's like, wow, we're gonna lose everything, and like all of this great business and, you know, that we've built up is just gonna like send us back to square one. It was tough to wrap your head around the significance of it.
400K lost, tested positive for COVID, and the turnaround might be the most important part for people. You know, I'm not too proud to admit that as a entrepreneur running this company for 10 years, I've had my fair share of getting my ass kicked. And I think that kind of comes with the territory. And but how you pull out of it really tells a lot about who you are and what your character is like. I went through the notes that you had sent to me, and what triggered me was really about the resiliency of getting back to where you were as quick as possible. And one of the keys here, and there are three of them that I pulled in my notes, white glove service for existing clients. I want to spend time on that and why that was important, why you want to do the opposite of the majority and then double down on what's working. First, let's talk about white glove services for your existing clients. Like, that's basically doubling down or leaning into the people that are already loving you so you could serve them more. Tell me what that looked like for you.
Yeah. So once this kind of, you get this wave of clients having a pause, you're looking at who's still an existing partner and you're like, okay, are we good? Let's do a check-in, because you could easily like avoid it and not address it. But we're like, you know, let's meet these clients where they are. They're thinking about this, and let's see what we could do as strategic partners, because you want to make sure as a consultant, you go down that avenue of, they look to you for guidance and strategy as opposed to you're just taking orders from them, right?
Right.
And so we decided to be like, okay, where, you know, let's meet you where you are. What's happening right now? How does this change like your goals and your strategy? And let's kind of throw our SOW out the window to some extent, where we're able to like be nimble, move on the fly to do things that might be out of scope or just whatever we need to help be good partners. Because yep. Usually like as you're looking to scale, you're thinking about margins, you're thinking about, you know, does this align with what we've set out from the start? But at this stage, it was just about preservation and you know, we had the bandwidth. So it's like, let's right. do it to help these existing partners.
It's so interesting you say that. I did the same exact thing. I leaned in more to the people that were already there. I started giving webinars several times a day to our existing clients and started training their sales teams, all how to sell remotely and how to use video for personal outreach. And before I knew it, it became training the entire national sales teams for big companies and training the marketing team how to optimize the sales process to move people faster through it. I mean, that's really an interesting tactic, but for anybody listening, and I think Jim, you're gonna agree with me and tell me if I'm off track, but what we discover during times of adversity of how we can better serve and provide a higher level, like a white glove level of service, is also something we should be doing during good times too. It's like you only discover that when you go through the hard time though.
Right? Yeah. It's like, why does it take that to realize, you know, we should be going above and beyond it at all costs? And like, same for us. We had a client, we're about to roll out this huge kind of like, you know, whole like strategy on their site with positioning, but this flipped it on its head. And we're like, let's just restart. Even though we were literally about to hit the green go button. It's like, it's now about make this essential product. It's not a nice to have, it's a must have. It ships from the US, let's play that up. And like changing our whole value prop because people's mindset changed. But it's like, then I hope that these partners, as you're doing that, will remember that for the long term. So yeah. Hopefully it's a good retention play. And it's just probably the right thing to do.
Yeah, I looked at my thing the same way, as it's a long-term strategy also. Because mm-hmm. if you add value and you show them you can be nimble, they'll recognize that, and God forbid, they'll know going forward that you can be trusted during crisis also, because you didn't just get COVID and then grab your toys and go home and drop out for, you know, a month. Within 30 days, your team was plugging ahead. What was the rebound like 30 days after March 13th And then 30 days later, what was your team's recovery like?
Yeah, as far as kind of like our actions or the results?
Yeah, financially. I mean, you guys took a, you guys took it on the chin, but then built some of that back, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like you said, we like had 400K of annual recurring revenue just evaporate in 2 days, which is a, it's a spicy meatball to take down, right?
That's so, a spicy meatball.
Right on cue. So for us, like we were able actually to recover 250K of that. And like for me, like it was really like starting out, it's a game of numbers. Like, well, we lost that. Can I keep the team? Because I was, I really am like proud of our team. I didn't want to like let anybody go, much less take away any of their money. The only fortunate part was we were about to make some hires because we were overextended and we didn't make those. And so when we lost the business, it hurt, but it wasn't so significant. I had to make those decisions, which was fantastic because I still had this team to go forward with. And it's funny because you're probably like me, you're like, you're always trying to think what's a repeatable, scalable way to grow. Whereas in the immediate like days of that, I wasn't like, you know, scalable, repeatable. I'm like short term and instant. What are non-scalable things I can do to people that are warm leads that have businesses that are on the up and up, or things I can do in the next 14 days, like webinars, virtual lunch and learns, free audits, just to put ourselves out there. And so it made us like take, you know, strategies and things you do in a quarter and compress it down to almost 30 days, which was a great fire drill to go through. I don't know if I want to do that every month, but it was a healthy exercise.
Yeah, the healthy, it's good iteration. It keeps you on your toes. Business is different. It's almost like the law of physics for business changed and we had to rethink it. You know, one of the things that I've been lucky, the opposite of the majority. And, but I've done this my whole life, you know, when everybody slows down for COVID and people are sitting on their couch taking bong hits and watching Tiger King, like I'm drilling in on and making up for that lost ground. You know, I'm picking up speed when other people are slowing down. What did you do that was the opposite that benefited you?
I would have loved to bench Tiger Week or the Tiger King. So one thing that we saw, Social Fulcrum was doing some pretty cool studies around their social ad platform, and they posted a lot of data with what they were seeing. And obviously conversion rates across all industries is going down, but cost per impressions was also going down. And the thing with our business, like we're not trying to close a million people, literally closing five clients is very significant for us.
Yeah.
And so we're like, you know what? There's still industries on the up and up that need us more than ever. Let's double our spend on ads just to put ourselves out there. So if anybody's looking for conversion rate optimization, we're top of mind. Right. And so we went all in on that just so we could hopefully kind of own the space. And so the other thing is like, okay, we're going all in on CPMs. Where else can we play offense? You know, where can we invest in trying to put ourselves out there? And so we started doing more and more content and free work for people just to demonstrate value, which might be counterintuitive where you should be thinking about margins and making money, but we just wanted to add value and be the people, the agency people are thinking about right now, just so we're in the conversation.
I did the same exact thing. I just realized all these businesses can't get in front of their prospects anymore. So I doubled down into my core, which is how to sell remotely, you know, especially to access restricted prospects, and how to use your video and your assets and your backend tracking to analyze the digital body language of a buyer, what it looks like, and teach teams how to set this up or set it up for them. And once I started doing that, I created this journey page on my website where you could learn about remote selling, and then put on 20 minutes worth of video there. And then every day I added another video on social about remote selling, teaching salespeople that just got laid off how to get to the next level, but also, which to me is like laying the seeds for your future clients. And you know, when they get hired, now they know about it and they're gonna go to the guru of this. But I also added videos for marketing and business leads that needed to learn more with a link to that landing page, and then fill out a form for a meeting. And in doing so, we ended up picking up a bunch of new clients and rode the thing out. And it's really interesting that when you when you just start to recognize how you can be of service, and then you can start to optimize that, people dig it. Now, Jim, I know you are a conversion rate optimization expert. You help people with their sales, with their e-commerce clients that you might have. Tell me about what some of your core value is that you provide to people as a CRO.
Yeah, well, first, I think that's super smart. You had the remote sales in place. There's probably not a better time to be specializing in that. So well played on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, regarding CRO for us, like we think there's kind of a misconception with it, which it's absolutely about lifting conversions or rates. But for us, we think it's about research-driven experiments on your site. And if you look at the common denominator of some of these high growth companies, the thing they do extremely well is they're always testing and learning and iterating, building that muscle. Because if you're able to do that at a pace that's 2-3x faster than your competition, you're going to run circles around them.
Right.
So for us, we want to build that culture of like, what do you want to learn about your customers? Why they're converting or why are they abandoning? And so with us, that's anchored in research. And it's two forms of research, which is simple. Some companies do one part extremely well and they don't do one at all. And companies are good at quantitative analysis. They can tell you how much traffic they get, their conversion rate, the drop off. The qualitative stuff is where they lack. And almost nobody's getting into the why. You understand the what with the quantitative, but with the qualitative, you know what's happening, but why aren't they abandoning? Why did they convert? Why are they doing a repeat purchase? And so by doing heat maps, scroll maps, by doing session recordings, doing voice to customer surveys, you get into that insight, and it can transform your entire strategy once you start to learn those like three objections that 100,000 people have, because if you can address those, you can totally change the unit economics of your funnel and look like a rock star, right?
Yes.
So for us, that's what we love getting at, because it makes us look smart as marketers and really helps customers or clients.
Yeah, typically when somebody brings me in, because I do some of this and I love hearing you talk about it. Typically when somebody brings me in, they're like, all right, marketing boy, start pumping us traffic, dude.
Right.
Drive it through our system. And then when I dig in on their, you know, on their back end, it's easy to see they've got leaks everywhere where they don't really need more leads because they're not efficiently managing those leads anyway. And they're just, leads are like, it's like a plumbing problem. They're just dribbling out everywhere.
Yeah.
And before you know it, when you start injecting clarity through the process, wherever they get confusion, and you start adding video in our case along their sales process, it starts flowing, and then you can pump in the traffic. I love that. I love nerding out on the process, because that's the money that most people have already committed themselves to, understanding that that's not ever going to be realized. It's like a percentage of lost that they don't even care about. And once you've got that for them, you know, it's like newfound love for what they do.
Right. And it's just amazing. People are so quick to spend so much money on ads to fill the funnel, but it's like, what are you doing to convert them or even just accelerate them through that funnel?
Yeah.
I totally agree. You said something that's so true. Like it's our own fault for calling ourselves growth hit and being a growth marketing agency, because they expect us to come in and just hit that big green growth button and all the miracles come true.
Yeah. And then is part of your process also, it sounds like it is. I mean, you already mentioned it. Going back and looking to see what they're doing inefficiently and then leveling that up, right? I mean, you spend some time in that whole experience knowing where you could optimize the user experience so they can flow through.
No, exactly. It's like, you know, first you're looking through, are there any like really significant technical or usability issues going on that are truly a bottleneck? Like we literally saw one with a SaaS company. They had a lead form where they didn't have the date field right, where people would enter it in, but because they didn't put like four digits for the year instead of two is an error. And they're getting significant traffic. And just by fixing that, like we lifted conversion by like 50%. And like, oh my gosh, you guys are so smart. It's like, no, we just watched the heat map and scroll videos, and we saw people getting really angry right here, and we fixed it. But if it's not usability, if it's not technical, then you can get into like, you know, what is that magic moment or what is the thing that they need to figure out before they can make a buying decision? Do you have to educate them, inform, remove skepticism? And it really comes down to a lot of value proposition and copy tests, right? Because I don't know, it's we can get fancy and make nice landing pages and do a cool funnel. But honestly, some of the most significant stuff is around knowing your customer and the right way to position it.
All right, now is there some, are you seeing benefits when you split off your customers into different personas? Like one size fits all is probably where people first approach you. And then once you start creating these persona pathways, I bet you get better results. Is that right?
Yeah, we have one example where like, they were trying to offer essentially courses to all types of parents, like a one size fit all thing. And they were just overwhelming people with information. So much so the bounce rate was significant. It's like, what's going on? We're doing all these best practices. We've got social proof, a strong call to action, video. But the truth is like these people that came to the website weren't able to self-select or identify. And so once we were able to create a path where like, how old is your kid? And then once they answer that one question, we get that input, we're funneling them to a page that makes it feel like it was designed for them. And some people want to go very elaborate and do these fancy personalized sites, which we're all about, but you can do a very simple MVP version of that and almost have the same result just by like getting them to self-select with one data input to customize a journey for them.
All right, so what goes through somebody's mind when they come onto a page and that page feels personalized and relevant for them? How's that different than in their mind than a one size fits all?
Right, yeah, so you're coming to a website, you're asking a simple question of where am I, why am I here, and should I be somewhere else, right? And right. Some of the best ways to get around that is the huge mistake, and you probably see this a lot, is you go to a website and it's all about the features, it's about how great the company is, where really it needs to be benefit focused. You need to be speaking second person with the word you and get to the heart of what they care about using their language. And if you can do that with a combination of second person benefit language and an image or video that's tied to that, you've bought yourself like 30 seconds. It's like you have their attention, and then you can start qualifying them, then you can start giving them like some of that feature information.
Does it surprise you when you go and look at a business's website and you see that they're starting with their product and why their product is great, but they haven't aligned yet?
Right, yeah. It's, well, for us, we kind of like it because it's low-hanging fruit. It's like, oh, well, we're going to look really smart here. But I think it, a lot of people can be guilty of it for good reasons. They're just so in the weeds. They're like, of course they're going to love this new feature. We spent like 8 months on it. You know, right. Everyone's been talking about it. It's like, no, you need to remember like people are there to, because you're going to save them time, money, or wow them with an experience. And you need to get to that.
Yep. You need, and it needs to feel personal right away, or they hit the eject button and they moved on somewhere else. Yeah. Jim Hoffman, where do people go for information if they want to learn more about you?
Yeah, so our website is just growthhit.com, and then my email is just jim@growthhit.com, and then I'm on Twitter as well, Jim W. Hoffman, where I post about marketing stuff and the occasional baby photo, so yeah.
All right, what does the W stand for, if you don't mind me asking?
I was going to think a fake clever name, but it's just James William Hoffman.
All right. So Jim, check this out. You bring up funny. There's at the office here, my middle initial's G. And, nice. But everybody, whenever they have to use my credit card, if they're a new employee, they're like, when they come in and grab my card or something, they'll say, hey, just in case I need to know, what is the G? And I'll go, oh, well, I prefer not, just try to do the G. Mom was a hippie. Let's just leave it at that. And if it doesn't go through, please ask so-and-so, because I'm going to be in a meeting all day. So-and-so knows to say that my middle initial is Geronimo and start laughing like they're embarrassed for me.
Yeah.
And then we don't clear that up, okay? We've been doing the same thing with this same second person for 8 years here. And then the next day I wear a shirt that says Geronimo, and they're 100%. I bought it on Amazon for like $6. They're 100% sure that's my middle name, and we just let it roll. It's a good little game we've got going on here. That's
I love
got
how
some
well,
good age.
orchestrated that is. That is very impressive.
Oh, in the meantime, after somebody asks for my credit card, there will be a Slack message that goes to that second person that says, so-and-so just asked for my middle initial. You know what to do.
That's a good workflow. Nice.
Yeah, right? That's a good use of Slack. So,
yes, it is. Yes. Yeah, that should be in their ads.
Absolutely. So Jim W. Hoffman is a great place to go, and growthhit.com is your business site. You know, on behalf of everybody in the audience, man, two things. We wish you not only recovery for your business, but a full health recovery for you and your family, and just wish you guys the best. I know that that's a horrible scenario, but the best thing that came from it, I think, is that you've learned to not only optimize other people's businesses, but also yours during adversity. And that doesn't go away. Like the next time you hit adversity, you're like, I've been through worse.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully this will make us resilient, a little paranoid, but resilient. Right.
Yeah, no doubt. Jim, it was great spending time with you. I'll look forward to our next chat. Thank you so much for joining me on the Toddcast.
Cool. Thanks, Todd.